I call to order the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Board Meeting, November 10th, 2021. Before we stand, can you hear me back there? Now, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I get the rare opportunity now and then to address my thanks for all veterans, and I certainly hope this crowd passes on their thanks as well. Before we all stand, I'd like any veteran, please stand up and be recognized. Come on, Tim, I know you're
all right.
And we've got a few, and I can't see around the corner. Remain standing, please. Secondly, those of us who, for one reason or another, did not serve, we must have had a relative, family member, father-in-law, uncle, cousin, great-uncle that have served. So those who have been affected by a family member of some sort, please stand. Thank you. Let us all stand to join this crowd for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 2, notifications of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the back wall. Prior to turning the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure to be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussions and action. Quorum call, please.
Dudley. Bonnet.
Present.
Bradley. Conley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Jack.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Sadinsky.
Here.
Teaser. And chairperson.
Here.
I've excused absences for Larry Bradley and Rich Teaser. Before I move to the adoption of the agenda, I want to change item 9C to Director Phil Davidson instead of Tim Fowler to make the report. So with that, I'll ask for a motion to accept the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by two people. Seconded. I knew Sapinski seconded it. Roll call on that.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Item 5, adoption consent agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sadinsky?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Yes. I have here proof of publication. A notice of this meeting has been duly advertised. Item 8, Agency Association Reports. 8A, Natural Resource Conservation Report. Andy Bonenkamp is... Is that him in the shadows?
Yeah, I'm back.
Two months in a row.
Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good to be back here again. Good evening. So tonight I'm just going to kind of give you an update here. I know last month I let you know we hired or made a selection for the soil conservationist position in Tecama. Callan Paisley is the gentleman's name who we selected. He will start November 22nd, Monday. So... just a little background on Callum. He's had 4 years of experience with wineries in the kind of the winery industry and viticulture up in Washington State. He served with Washington State University as kind of a lab technician, taking soil samples, water samples, and plant tissue tests. samples. And then he also served our country in the Marine Corps for 5 years prior to that. So he's got a really interesting background. I think he's going to be a really great addition to the team and Tehama and to the NRD. You know, he's new to the agency, but that's great. Gives us an opportunity to really kind of mold his professional career as a conservationist. So we're looking forward to having Callan start on the 22nd. Just want to provide a kind of a quick update on COVID-19 protocol. We really haven't seen much in the way of any policy or guidance other than what I reported on last month. We have seen a little movement with respect to the office staffing levels. We've seen an increase in some of the offices within our NRD to allow more USDA employees to come back and not have to telework or be on a telework schedule. So it's varying degrees. I don't want to get into all of them because I don't have them right off the top of my head, but for the most part, we're at about 75% staff. So for us, it's almost fully staffed, really. So we're doing really good there. Really, that's all I can report on at this moment. Next month, you know, might be fully different. So it seems to be changing, and things seem to be moving in the right direction in terms of getting back to normal. You're a lot sooner than I thought, so that's good. And lastly, I just want to kind of give you an update on myself. Last week, I was asked by our regional office or regional conservationist to serve a detail as the Missouri River Basin and Upper Mississippi River Basin coordinator, also the United States Army Corps of Engineers liaison to our agency. After a lot of consideration, a lot of thought, I chose to take it. It's a 120-day detail, so it's about a four-month gig. I will be able to retain a lot of the supervisory roles as DC, and also still kind of oversee, you know, for the most part, the major operations within the NRD. I'm going to appoint an acting Ryan Johnson, the resource conservationist in Tehama, will serve as acting in my place and really kind of handle the day-to-day or daily duties. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't expect this to be a permanent change. It's really sitting in for the retired Berlin Barnes. I don't know if you remember him, but he served in that role prior to me for about 10 years. And so in his place, and until they hire someone, they kind of asked me to fill that role since I had some prior experience there. So that's about it for my report tonight.
Andy, will that speed up any projects we have with the Corps?
Well, that's a good question. As the liaison, you know, I guess that's my job would be to really work with the Corps, not just on Missouri River and Mississippi River issues, but, you know, potentially work through some of the messaging from our agency and our partners back to the Corps of Engineers. I believe I'm tasked with just two regions, so I, you know, would be out beyond my scope and some of the other regions of the Corps of Engineers. So it would affect this region. So yeah, would have to just see kind of what they want me to do in terms of working directly with Corps on different projects. So
okay. Well, good luck in that. It's sounds significant. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Will you be physically detailed out, or we're still working from home?
No, it's my supervisors are Washington D.C. Individuals, so my office would remain in Blair.
Okay.
We've also got the Omaha field office space here, but I don't intend to really use that. It's a lot easier for me to go home to Blair. So, but I have a plan to just kind of stick around here.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Thank you. And that's effective when?
That's a great question.
Okay.
I haven't received that answer yet. Typically, I would shoot for November 22nd, but I'm going to probably be sitting on meetings in the meantime, just to kind of make sure I've covered my bases, but officially, there hasn't been a set date yet, so.
Okay.
Thanks for the questions.
Thank you. Before we move on to item B, I was reminded that today, November 10th, is the birthday of the U.S. Marine Corps, which my neighbor always reminds me, Semper Fi, because I look at his Marine Corps flag every day. So even though they're older than the Navy, I understand that. Is that correct, Commander Fowler? Oh, yes, it is. By
I'm still under.
Under the Navy, though.
Thank you to the Marines, including my uncle, who was on Iwo Jima. So, moving on to item B, legislative report. Catalyst, anything
to be concerned about? We continue to meet with the state senators and then also with the agency directors. Last week, we met with Tim McCoy, who took over for Mr. Douglas. So, he's the director on his very first day as a director. We continue to do that until the session starts again.
All right. 9C, Lake Cunningham Trail and Recreation Improvements. Brooke Bench and Marquette Ryan. Come on down.
Thank you, Director Thompson. We just wanted to come back. This is Marquette Ryan. She's our marketing and public relations manager, but she's really, I'd be lying to say that's all she does. We're kind of a two-man band, and we've created this when we started last August. You guys were kind of the board was general or was. Let me start over. That's a terrible beginning. Anyway, we are here to thank you for awarding us the nearly $250,000 for trail work and for renovations that we did to are some picnic shelters that were in the park that really, really needed it. So we have a brief PowerPoint that we want to show you, some befores and afters of what we've done in a year with the money that you guys awarded us, and then what we've done this year. So I think it's really encouraging where Lake Cunningham's going. We're very proud of it and everything that we've created and building the brand and building a culture that we want to see at Lake Cunningham. So I'll have Marquette start. We're going to start with a brief PowerPoint. And at any time, if you have questions, please let us know.
So we're just going to go through some photos of projects and some before and afters. And obviously, we have some pictures of the trail and also the shelters that you guys put in. So I'll just start there.
Maybe move up to the microphone.
So, yeah. Sure. These were the three pieces of trail that the NRD funding went towards. These were three pieces that we added last August, that when we arrived, that we really felt that were connections to keep the pedestrians and the bike and walk traffic out of the parking lots. So these were all added to divert that. This was what we call Section 1, which comes from the new bridge from the marina into past the parking lot and bypasses through the boat ramp area. And this is a really, really scenic piece of trail that was added. Instead of going up into the parking lot, that's entrance 2, we built the trail along the side, which is a very scenic looking down to the lake. Very, very, people love it. And it turned out really, really nice. So that was the part 2 that we did. And then this was part 3 that we went up and around the handicap accessible parking lot. Originally, it was going to go right through it. We just felt that was going to be a problem as busy as the park is now. So we diverted that and went up and around that section, and that's an entrance 3. That's probably the second busiest entrance in the park. These are just some befores and afters. This was taken last August. So we added 42 campground pads also with full hookups, water, electrical, new concession building, new restroom shower facility. This is what it looked like last August. And this is what it looks like this fall. So in pretty much one season's time, we've transformed it into a beautiful state-of-the-art campground. It was at capacity every weekend. We were sold out every weekend. So this was the old campground renovation or the bathroom building that was on, we call the West Sea, which is the old campground. We renovated all of that also, redid the building, added concrete, all the pads are concrete, increased it to 50 amp. Planted over 1,000 trees throughout the park, upgraded the playground, and pretty much redid everything on this site, new picnic tables, new shelters. And then just the rest of the park, this is in the marina area. Obviously, the park was closed for 3 years, so we have a really good maintenance group that we have that has worked really, really hard to transform it over one season, and you can see what it looks like now. When you look at the video we're going to show you, when you come here on a Saturday or Sunday or Friday, it really feels like you're in a summer resort area. I mean, there's literally thousands of people at this park every weekend. This was just a couple of the buildings that we redid. The restroom building, that's open to the public now, so now we have a public restroom that's in the marina area. That was the lighthouse that used to be down at Rick's Boatyard. It was kind of we built our brand off that lighthouse. People love it. We've had people get married there, do their engagement pictures there. So that was sitting out of standing there. We really felt it was important to bring it back, so we re-landscaped it. It works. It's a functional lighthouse. Not that we have any big storms or any ocean liners out there, but it's pretty cool at night when you see it working. And this is one of the shelters that your funding helped with. This was a shelter that was built in 1973. As you can see, it's one of the old brick walls. It was one of those that was just kind of, it sits down and was scary to go into. And people didn't use it because you didn't know what was creeping around the corner. So we took all the walls out. We replaced all the wood with steel columns, new roof, redid everything, and now people are fighting over it every morning to use it. We have 8 permanent tables underneath the big one. The little one has 2 tables. We redid the bocce ball. We have a little bocce ball court and then a horseshoe court that's in this entrance on entrance 3, and they just turned out really good, and they're very, very popular. Just a couple other things just to give you a little update on the park. We have 24-hour surveillance. We have a very elaborate security system in all of our parking lots. And then we also have license plate recognition in coming into the campground and into entrance 1. So we just got this. We just finished this map, so we're kind of recreating a map and showing everything that we have. We can get you guys copies of this so you can have a copy of all the things that we have. We're working on mountain biking now, and we're working on really making a really state-of-the-art frisbee golf course. So we're continuing to go now that we're open. We transformed, this was the old city's caretaker house, and now this is our offices. So this is just right up the street from the entrance to the campground. And then we gutted that last spring and just got it finished late this summer. And so this is where Marquette and I work out of. And we have all of our security cameras ran back to our offices, and so we can monitor the whole park at any given time. And then, just real quick, I'll run through the entrances, but we redid all the entrances. We locked the park up, kind of like what you guys do here now. So we locked the park at 11 and open it at 5 o'clock in the morning, not the campground, but all the other entrances. And then we have roving security on an ATV that comes in every day and just goes around the park. The park's 1,500 acres. And what that's done, I can't tell you what that's done. It's unbelievable how many people are using the park that probably wouldn't be because they didn't feel like they could. And having that security, which I know is expensive, but for us it's been outstanding and creating a new culture to where all the bad things that used to happen at Lake Cunningham, we're really wiping that off the slate, and it's not happening anymore. So we're very pleased with, like I said, when you see the video, when you see just an average Saturday and Sunday, it looks like a summer resort. And then that was just our brand. We have our little Cunningham cruiser there. It's an electric bus. We have that for all of our youth program, which you'll see in a sec. And then all the other things that we've created. We had our first annual Sea Monster Run. I'll let you go. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. As Brooke mentioned, we really wanted to create a culture, and we felt that the brand was going to be a really big part of that. This is a park that has been elevated, and so this just demonstrates how we tie everything together, trash receptacles to our events, to our social media. So as Brooke mentioned, we had our first Sea Monster Run, and what's really unique about it is it's 6.2 miles around the lake. So we did a one, for people who wanted to just do 1 mile, we had that option, but then we had one loop, and we had 2 loops around the lake to be 12 miles. So it was really unique. We had a little over 100 participants for our first year, so we're excited to grow that and really just program the park more in general with events and outside events and campground stuff as well. So A big part of what we do is the programming out here. We only did it for a month, June through July, but we had over 1,800 kids out here. The park was still closed when we did this. These were just some of the groups that participated. As I mentioned, this is a really big piece of what we do, and so we just want to continue to grow this. We were able to get a grant that actually paid for a lot of the equipment. I have it listed on the right-hand side there. And so we were able to fish with the kids, bike with the kids, just all camp stuff. A lot of the time, they had never caught a fish or made a s'more. I mean, just the simplest things that you would think. And it was very rewarding. But this is a big piece, and we want to continue to grow. We actually want to hire a full-time programmer, youth programmer, and grant manager as well. So we're really excited to watch this piece grow. And then these are just some photos I included. My daughter's on the right side in the middle, just
the cutest one in there.
But next, we just want to show you guys a video. We had a drone come out just on a regular Saturday and Sunday at the park, and nothing was staged, which we thought was kind of unbelievable when we watched it, but they had assured us it wasn't staged, so just utilizing the amenities of the park, so we'll show that next for you guys. I was going to say we just have one more quick video to not take too much of your time, but it just shows North Star Foundation utilizing the trail. They have an after-school program where they actually received a grant to pay for some mountain bikes, so they brought them out, and so this video just kind of shows that.
We're at Lake Cunningham, which is only about 10 minutes away from the North Star campus. And we have the opportunity after school, nights, weekends, to bring boys over to bike, thanks to the Weber Bike Fleet that allows us to get kids outside 24/7.
This is a 6.2-mile trail that we got all the way around the lake. We have great partners like North Star that are able to come out and utilize a beautiful facility. As you can look at all the just the public that's out here on a nightly basis, it's a beautiful, beautiful place and a great place for North Star to come out and ride their bikes.
After 18 months of kind of crazy isolation, the more opportunities we have to get outside and to enjoy a little recreation, get a little wind and sun in our face, the better we all are. That certainly applies to our boys. Programming on our campus takes many different forms, but equally important is programming off our campus, like at Lake Cunningham. This is North Star. Bike on.
That turned out to be a great partnership. They've been utilizing the trail since we've opened. They have after school groups, and they'll continue. They have it's what's handy for so many of those groups that we partnered with over the summer was we're so close. So a lot of the places that they've traditionally gone to, they had a hard time doing it after school just because they didn't have time. So with the Hope Center and all these other groups, they're able to come because they are very close to Lake Cunningham. And it's a 5 to 10 minute ride for most of the groups to be able to get there and utilize all the facilities that we have. So that's turned out really, really well. So with that, does anybody have any questions?
Would you make that link available for our website as well?
Sure,
or something
sure.
Like that? That'd be nice, I think.
We would love to actually take a picture if we could and put it on our website of everybody if we could before we left.
Very good presentation. I'm glad, happy to hear about those improvements, and I really like your logo. This really turned out well, so thank you for that. My question was, how many campground slots or spots do you have available for on a regular day?
Right now, we added 42 full hookups on the east side, and that's all brand new. And then on the old side, we have 41, so we have about 83 total sites, and then we have 17 tent camps. Sites.
Are they open year round or just?
They're not open year round. We're hoping that we will be open through Halloween.
Through Halloween, okay.
Now we're working on some other wintertime events that we're working on that will be next year, but we want to activate the park all year round and do other things other than, we want to do a drive. We have a lot of ideas that we want to do, so our goal is to have that full time programmer, which we have approved in our budget. And to where we'll start doing things all year round and activate the park. We want to do snowshoeing. We want to do, we have all these fire rings, kind of like what Val's Pumpkin Patch does. We have the capability of having other groups come out and rent those at all times when the campground's not open. So since we just get to get open in August, that was getting through all the kind of the hurdles and the bumps of the grand opening and getting the wrinkles. We have a brand new system called Rover Pass that's our booking agent for all campground. Everything's done online, which turned out once we got through the first couple of weeks, but it really ended up being a really smooth. We offer firewood, we sell firewood. We're going to have concessions. We're going to have concerts next year that will be a part of a weekend, extravaganza. So there'll be a lot of other things that we'll do down the road.
Thank you.
And we just put $256,000 in it. Partnered with Game and Parks and West, so we've added a lot of fish.
Brooke, I got several questions.
Sure. Go ahead.
How are you working with the boaters, with the zebra mussels? Are you inspection? Well, how are you handling that?
Yep. So that was a big debate. We went back and forth. Corps of Engineers really wanted us to have it open to the public and not restricted. And so when we first opened up, we had for the first 2 weeks, we have our own hot seat. We had a full cleaning station. Our guys were trained by some guys from Game and Parks. So we offered that to have boats cleaned when they came in, and we still offer that. So if somebody calls us and says, hey, I just came from somewhere, I don't know, just to be on the safe side, if they give us a call or email us, we'll come over and clean it. But the lake is open to the public and anybody can come in.
Fantastic. Also, are you along any of the electric scooters on the pathways?
Our rules are the same as what?
At City of Omaha?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you tied in with the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and maybe Explorers, Boys Town, for instance, on your youth programs?
Yeah. We actually had Troop 395. They were the ones that were in that video when there was a long line of kids. We're partnering with the scouting groups. We let them have a whole tent camping for a weekend. And in partnership, they built us birdhouses, and they did lake cleanup for us. So we will continue to do partnerships like that with the scouts. We've met numerous times with Chris McCaffrey, and with everybody in the scouting world to see that growth.
Fantastic.
And do other things in other areas of the park, not just in the camping area.
Fantastic. For boating, I noticed I saw a lot of sailboats. I love sailing personally, but have you eliminated power boats for the anglers and all that?
Yeah, so it's a no-wake lake, so we have pontoon boats, but the majority of the folks that are in our 42 slips are sailboats, and I think we have 6 or 7 pontoon boats, but it's a no-wake lake, so we haven't had any issue. We haven't had anybody. The one pontoon boat that you see in the end of that video is the Relentless. That pontoon boat is owned by QLI. We partner with them. They have a boat here where they bring handicapped folks out to be able to go boating and fishing. So that's their pontoon boat, and that's their kayak launch that they use also.
So for clarification, so if you have a small boat and you have a troller and you want to go fishing with your kids, you still can go out there as long as you're not, yeah, it's just still same old.
We have 5, 10, 15, 20 a day.
Awesome. Yeah, I've done that many times. Last but not least, are you utilizing any renewable energy like solar on any of your like bathrooms for lighting or anything like that?
The only thing that we have solar right now is our lighthouse. So that is on a solar pack. We are looking at some solar options just due to the fact that we have some areas of the park that we don't have any power, and it's going to be very difficult to get power to it. We do have cameras in certain areas, but we're looking to expand when we open more areas up. So we are looking at solar options when it comes to that.
Okay, last but not least, are you going to do the corporate polar plunge like you have in the past? Because
you
that know, is killer.
We just met with the Heartwalk folks this week. We met with numerous groups that are looking to move to us, but we want to get as many of those events back that, the lake was closed for 3 years, so a lot of things left. But we do have, we're working with the Cornhusker Triathlon. They were out a couple weeks ago. They've traditionally done that at Holmes Lake in Lincoln. They're looking to possibly do it at Lake Cunningham. We have another triathlon that was for sure doing it. That is Alan Cole's race, and that's coming back. So we just had the Goats Run. We had 200 folks just did the Goats Run a couple weeks ago. So we will continue to, we're working with other groups to do some classes and day classes for self-defense and utilizing our green spaces. I just met with Tactical 88, and they would like to do some classes out at the lake. So I think you'll see in time, it's just going to be more and more and more.
Beautiful. Great job, both of you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, nice work.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Any other comments, questions?
If anybody ever wants to come out for a tour, just let me know. I'd love to take you around and show you everything that we've done.
The donation of the bicycles, are they yours then? And
yes.
And
yes.
Do you accept more?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Sure.
So how many total electrified pads do you have out there?
How many? I'm sorry.
Total electrified pads?
Electric. Well, they all have, they, yeah, 83. They all have
83. What kind of revenue does that generate?
This year, I know, I ran it as a city. Just in running it from August to, it was over $105,000. And that was starting in August.
August 5th,
and we closed it
October
15th.
Do you limit your days much like the state park ones do? Like, you just can't hog a place for a certain amount of time?
We're actually going to even be more stringent on our rules next year. Like I said, we learned a lot this year. A lot of people just want to move around and use a different park. We don't let anybody stay longer than 2 weeks. And we really want the opportunity for everybody to be able to use it and not, people to use the same spot. And, so we're looking at doing it this year as having every other Wednesday, it's empty. April, we can do maintenance. We can get caught up cleaning everything and hauling and doing everything that we need to do. And it just makes sure that everybody's out. And, this on Friday afternoons, we would have, on average, between 60 and 75 campers coming on Fridays. I mean, it was full. We actually had a greeter that helped, hand out maps and their parking passes. It was that busy. So, which is a good problem. But I think as when we start adding more things, we want to do a new playground in there. There's other, like I said, we want to have live music. We want to have meat raffles. We want to do a lot of different things to really engage the camping community.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you for the thermos. What do you want to call it?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, we're good.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, thank you, Brooke. Thanks. Marquette, nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too.
Moving on to subcommittee reports, item 9A, ad hoc consultant selection committee, Kevin Spinski.
Chairman Thompson. Agenda item 9A, ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee RFP for professional services for the Papillion Creek 319 watershed small flood control and water quality structure project. That's a mouthful. Being resolved at the minutes of the November 4th, 2021 meeting of the ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee RFP for professional services for the Papillion Creek 319 watershed small flood control and water quality structure project are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, consultant selection interviews. Recommendation that HDR be ranked first to negotiate a contract for the Papillion Creek 319 watershed small flood control and water quality structure project, and that FIRA be ranked second, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff? Directors? Paul?
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Connick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you, Director Sapinski. Moving on to item B, Programs Project Operations, Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the November 9, 2021 meeting of the Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 9B1, West Papio Trail Millard Connection Interlocal Agreement with the City of Omaha. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal cooperation agreement with the City of Omaha for the West Papio Trail Millard Connection Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jackson?
Yes.
Sitsky?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
9B2, Beltline Trail Phase 1 Construction Bids. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute a contract with Swain Construction, Inc. in the amount of $208,474.71 for the Beltline Trail Phase 1 project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Spinski?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
9B3, Amendment to Lower Platte River Consortium Interlocal Agreement. Recommendation of the General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment to the interlocal agreement for the Platte River Consortium with the Lower Platte South NRD, Lower Platte North NRD, City of Lincoln Metropolitan Utilities District, and Nebraska Department of Natural Resources, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors? Roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Spinski?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
9B4, Interlocal Cooperation Agreement, Elkhorn Water Rescue Agreement, Waterloo NRD. Recommendation that the Interlocal Cooperation Agreement Elkhorn River Water Rescue Funding be adopted and that the General Manager be authorized to execute the agreement subject to changes as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
A public comment, staff, directors. Roll call.
Spinski?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Absolutely, yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you. Moving on to item 9C, Finance Expenditures Subcommittee Director Phil Davidson.
Thank you. Be it resolved that the minutes of the November 9, 2021 meeting of the Finance Expenditure and Legal Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations are hereby adopted and approved. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute for and on behalf of the district the purchase agreement in the form as presented to this meeting, providing for the purchase by the district from Mark Amder of the project, located at 3622 County Road 34, Fort Calhoun, for the purchase price of $75,121.14, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as formed by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
The public comments? Staff, directors? Was that... Okay. Roll call.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
All right, and recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute for on behalf of the district the purchase agreement in the form as presented to this meeting, providing for the purchase by the district from Michael Fix of property located at 24253 Keene Lake Road, Valley, Nebraska, for the purchase price of $24,788.31, subject to changes deemed necessary by the General Manager and approval as to form by District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors, roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you. Director Davidson, item 10, Treasury Report, Director Tim Fowler.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take items A through J, all inclusive, and that the financial reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes. I so move.
Is there a second to that
second.
Motion? It's been seconded by Fred Conley. Any public comment on Treasurer's report? Staff, directors, roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Kaminsky?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you, Director Fowler. Legal update, item 11?
No legal update.
All right. Item 12, Chairperson's report. Just a quick note. For a while, I've been trying to meet with Mayor Stothert, one official to another. Finally did, and basically want to talk about our trail connectivity plan, which you all should have an updated copy that it's a plan, and I wanted to share that with her and her staff as we, the NRD and City of Omaha, develop different trails throughout the city. We're on the same page, and we pretty much are. Eric meets with the staff on a monthly basis down there. My main concern was maintenance of the trails. A while back, prior to the current individuals in charge downtown, I was told there's no money in maintenance of the trails. And that bothers me when we build them, turn them over to the city, that they don't budget. I have not looked at their budget, but I emphasize, please provide enough money in your budget for maintaining the trails. Those of you on social media, you'll hear about the weeds, you'll hear about the mud over the trails, and I think I'm confident that our staff does their due diligence by saying, hey, city, here's a hot spot for you. That remains to be seen. But it was a healthy meeting. I discussed other things I won't go into. But it was a good. We don't do that enough. I don't do that enough. But I think with the trail system, the investment we have in our in that asset continues to grow as we awarded another segment tonight. Moving on to M13, General Matters Report, John Winkler.
Mr. Chairman, information and education highlights are attached for your review. You can read the whole thing back to you.
Personal miscellaneous items, October 15th, we had a household hazardous waste collection in Blair. That was a partnership with Nebraska Los Hills Resource Conservation and Development Council in Cargill. So it was a great public-private partnership. New participation record, 197 loads collected. So a great event. My sincere thanks to everyone involved, and I thank Director Jeffer. You always volunteer for there. So we appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. I know Scott appreciates that, too. Also, another public-private partnership, Dig Up Lake, has some new trees. The Farm Credit Services donated 30 trees through the Papio Valley Nursery and American Reforestation Initiative. The employees of the Farm Credit Service planted them last month, so it didn't cost not one dime of public resources to do that, so we appreciate their efforts. We're going to have more of those, too, I guess, forward. Report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal properties, and tax, as well as current and ongoing projects with the district legal counsel. The partnership meeting scheduled for October was canceled. The next meeting is November 17th. One note on redistricting. Gene and I met with MAPA last week, and so we're close to a final draft map of the new subdistricts of the NRD. Once we get those, we'll send them out to everybody. Review those. If there's any major problems or issues, we will hopefully have to try to address those before the December meeting. They have to be done by December 30th, so they will be brought to the December meeting for final approval. I would say, obviously some of the districts have, because of population shift further out west, some of them have condensed, and then others have gotten bigger to bring in that constitutional mandate of one person, one vote. The districts are about 75,000 per sub-district now, and we have a margin of error of about 5%. We're well below those margin of errors with the plan that we've seen. Another note, too, is we have a great relationship with MAPA. So the contract that we entered into is like $2,000. And we've seen some private firms reach out, and I think we had an estimate for $40,000 to what MAPA's done for two. So we're lucky to have that resource here in the metro area, and so they've done a great job. So we will have maps, they'll have obviously boundaries and everything that you can see, but we want to get them by. They haven't changed greatly. They've changed, obviously. I think it was 64,000 was the last census that was per district, and now we're up to 75,000 per district.
And those maps are available now?
No, they're finishing up now. As soon as their final draft comes out, then we'll get that out to everybody. And obviously, they won't be final until the board votes. We will submit those Secretary of State. And I think the filing deadline, Fred, you mentioned was January for office.
January 5th.
January 5th, yeah. So we want to make sure those are all filed. The precinct information will be a little late, but we work with the Secretary of State's office, and now we only have to provide boundaries as far as the description of the district instead of the map. So it's moving along.
It's been only 10 years, but I can't remember that come directly to the board or through one of the committees.
Yeah, we'll put it through a committee, and then it'll go through. It'll come to the exec committee. Will be the committee that will be making the recommendation. So. That's what we did.
Okay. Thanks.
And I'm glad that's just every
10 years. I should ask Fred. Yeah, what happened the last two times, Fred?
I don't remember.
10 years ago.
You're saying Ted Jeffs and I can move down into Sarpy County.
Not Sarpy.
You never know.
Not
the district's not big enough.
So, also, just to let everybody know, you and your family have a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you back in December. So. Yep. Any other questions? Be happy.
November 17th, you're having a meeting here for the which group?
17th? Oh, yeah, the Pleasant Creek Watershed Partnership. They meet, well, supposed to meet monthly, but they get canceled.
Okay.
If you want to come to those, it's all okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. I have 14 informational items. Again, tomorrow, Veterans Day, acknowledge it accordingly in your own private way or public way. I think there's something at Memorial Park going on around the community. Second the motion for a happy Thanksgiving. If you have to travel, travel safely. Hopefully we won't have snow. And if not, we'll see you in December with item 15. We are adjourned.